The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, we dive into all new, all different Marvel. Nick and I pretend that we are in the trenches of World War I. And superhero deaths, do we need them?
Trying to pretend that I'm a fucking baller at this $5 blackjack table right now. Can I have this illusion for a fucking second?
God.
Welcome to Super Skulls, your weekly new comic day audio digest from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. My name is Nick Wybar. I'm here with Marcus Schwimmer.
How we doing, bud?
I'm great.
I'm also great. I had an Americano this morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm trading drip coffee. I'm trading it for the Americano.
You're done with coffee.
I'm done with drip coffee. The Americano is here to stay.
What is it that you like so much about the Americano?
First of all, it's got a way better name
than just
coffee.
Yep. Okay.
It's classic.
You love America.
I do, but it's also like, oh, can I have an Americano? Also, I think it just simply tastes better.
Yeah.
Depends
who's doing it.
Depends who's doing it.
Depends on the Americano.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Curtis Sullivan. We're also here with Curtis Sullivan. Americano, pro or con?
I do like an Americano, but I prefer, I'm like a coffee snob, so I want the pour over.
You want not the drip coffee, but the most labor-intensive form of coffee.
The hand pour.
The hand pour.
Yeah, if you show me a carafe of coffee,
yeah,
I'll smack that carafe off the counter.
I've seen you do that.
I'll do it.
It's really disruptive.
You know, it's like, how dare you?
It causes a huge mess.
You know, I brewed this coffee at 6 a.m. It's now 10:30.
Want some?
Yeah, here, $3.
I made you this grilled cheese sandwich yesterday.
Yeah. I'll pay for that.
That's carafe coffee.
Now, but Curtis, let's have a moment of truth.
Let's do it.
Because I love you.
Yeah.
What is the number one company that you purchase coffee from?
The number one company?
Like, what's the company that you purchase the most coffee from throughout the year?
It's probably Madcap Coffee.
Oh, that's Dunkin' Donuts.
That's
baby.
Dunkin' Donuts,
Grand Rapids.
My friend.
We all know it.
You got to
shut
go
up,
front.
Shut yeah,
up, you guys.
You just got called out. You know it.
You boners.
Dunkin' Donuts has really great pour-over coffee.
They do. They have great carafe coffee.
Yeah.
And they're very busy, so it's like, the carafe is always being reloaded.
Yeah.
In my mind.
They do pour-over carafes.
Madcap. You don't even live in that city.
Yeah, but when I'm there, dude, I'm there like twice a day, so it stacks.
All right, enough of Curtis's lies. We are a weekly comic day audio digest where there's the three of us are back together, and we haven't done a podcast with the three of us in like a minute.
No, it's been
a while. Well, since last week.
Well, Charlie was up with us last week.
Oh, that's right. It's just us three, you're saying.
It's just us three.
Nice.
The three friends.
The Justice
Trio.
Three. The Justice Three. That's pretty good, actually. We're going to use that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was in Grand Rapids over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis, you spent a lot of time out there.
I did.
That's a pretty cool comic shop out there, man.
I'm in love with that comic shop.
Yeah.
Everything they do is just perfect. The staff is my besties.
What about your Ann Arbor staff, buddy?
I'm right here.
They're not bad.
Ann Arbor's not bad.
The room for improvement, we'll say.
Okay. But Grand Rapids is where it's at.
Exactly. I'm kidding, of course. I love everyone. I just, I'm here in Ann Arbor all the time. Then you go out, like I think, Nick, you would agree, you go out to Grandpa's, you're like, oh, yeah, we have this other comic store that we don't get to as much because we're out here. It's really nice.
You know what's really...
They do a good job.
You know what's really weird to think about is that there's two Vault of Midnights.
I think about it all the time.
You and I talk about this sometimes. Like, it's kind of crazy that there's, like, another Vault of Midnight.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years, and I still find it extremely odd.
Yeah. It's working for me, though.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
If only...
There was a Dunkin' Donuts across the street.
There was another... Well, we'll save that conversation for another day.
If only there was yet another Vault of Midnight.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Mm.
Weird thought.
Oh.
Maybe we'd like to talk about that another time.
We'll talk about that another time. For now, I think we should talk about comic books.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm so pumped for this week.
Curtis, you look like you're about to say something.
I was going to say, let's do, I think, big picks.
Let's go some big picks. Before we dive into the big picks, Comic-Con is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
On November 7th, starting at 10 a.m., Comic-Con is a celebration of female comic creators in Dearborn, Michigan, at the Arab American National Museum.
It's a very nice museum. I've been there before.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you get to go to the con and check out the museum. As a lover of museums, It's one of Michigan's best and is very rarely visited.
Well, I'm really excited about this event. I think it's just what we need. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, and they got some big names coming to this little con.
They have a great lineup. Alex DeCampi is going to be there. Nancy Collins, who did Swamp Thing, Vampirella, Nicole George. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. We're sponsors of this event. Vault of Midnight is one of the sponsors for the event.
We are.
And I think Green Brain out of Dearborn, Michigan is playing a big role.
Yes, fantastic comic shop. Yes.
It's a great comic shop.
It makes sense that they would be involved in this because they're awesome and get it.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool when comic shops get it.
Yes.
And I'm implying by that we get it and no one else does.
Except
but these guys got it, but Green Brain gets it.
They got it.
Is what I'm saying. So I'm looking forward to Comic-Con. Again, that is on November 7th at the Arab American National Museum. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Cool.
We might as well.
There's another con coming up, too.
There's another con coming up a little closer to home for at least one Vault of Midnight. It's the Grand Rapids Comic-Con.
GRCC.
GRCC.
So I have never been to Grand Rapids Comic-Con, but after it, every year, I always hear people say, like, this is going to be the one. Like, this con is growing at such an amazing rate. It's going to be Michigan's premier Comic Con in, like, no time at all.
Yeah.
We opened on the first year of that Comic Con in Grand Rapids.
We did. Yep.
And so we've been there every year since, and it's been really interesting to watch it grow.
Yeah.
It's, it is crazy. So the first year, they literally hit capacity. They rented out this, like, what was it? It was like a school? I can't remember what they rented out.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the place.
They filled it to capacity, though. Like, they had to, they turned people away at the door. There was a line a mile long, and they were like, nope, nobody else. Everybody go home, because it was completely packed.
Yeah. It was nuts.
And now where is it located this year?
It's at the DeVos place, which is a big old convention center.
Yeah.
Right down the street from Vault of Midnight Grand Rapids.
How many people are they expecting at this year's Comic-Con?
I've heard numbers around 40,000.
Holy moly.
Huge show.
That's a big turnout for anything.
So we've been selling tickets for it. We have probably sold through the shop, I mean, I hesitate to speculate, but thousands
like
of
a
tickets.
Lot.
Thousands.
A lot of tickets.
That's awesome.
So many. And tickets are now 100% sold out. So,
yeah.
You know, at least at our shop, we'll be getting no more. We've been informed by the Grand Rapids Comic-Con people that there are no more tickets for us to get.
It's going to be pretty difficult to get in.
So check it out. It's going to be the DeVos place is a cool open air kind of glass convention center. It's really sharp.
Yep. And every year they've made some cool changes and they're figuring it out a little bit more every year. But I'm really excited. And this is going to be right downtown Grand Rapids.
Yep.
Which is, I think, amazing for any Comic-Con.
Yeah, so some of my favorite shows that I've ever been to are the right downtown shows.
Yeah.
You know, obviously San Diego Comic-Con is like, that's the big show, right?
Yep.
But it's right in the heart of San Diego.
C2E2 as well.
Same thing.
Really
so you're
great. Compared to Wizard World, which is not downtown, two very different cons.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so you do the downtown stuff, you do the comic stuff, you eat food, you hang out, you walk around. It's the way to do it.
Well, you guys, how do you feel about Comic-Cons?
I hate to work them. I like to go to them.
Yeah.
I hate tabling at a show.
Working at a table at a show. Vault of Midnight will have a table at the Grand Rapids Comic Con.
We will indeed.
Yeah. Curtis won't be there.
I'll be working at the comic shop with Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Comic cons are changing. Cons are in a moment of evolution. Mm-hmm. It used to be a lot about the shopping. You go and try to pick the back issue bins and whatnot. Now it's very much about, like, it seems like the entertainment, going to see the entertainment and the panels and all that.
Seeing the celebs.
The celebs. And that's fine. For me, I like to go because I like to meet people because I'm an extrovert.
Yes, you are.
And I like to meet people who are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of good happening at the cons with that, but sometimes there's a lot of bad.
When I picture Marcus at a Comic-Con, I just picture him just fucking strutting and disco music in the background.
Yeah, essentially, I'm just there to talk to every single person at that
con. Hey, how you doing? Hey, look at you. You're looking great.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Pointing at people.
Yeah, and
with
essentially
his broadsword. He's pointing at them with his battle axe.
Yeah, I just want to get a photo with every person dressed up like Captain America. Mm. So I love con. C2E2 in my book is the best con you can go to.
It's one of my favorite shows.
I really like it.
Solid. I've never been.
Oh, it is. The thing about C2E2 is it's a mix of all the different nerd cultures, which I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big grab bag for all of them, but it is so well organized.
Yeah.
And it's clean.
They know what they're doing.
They really know what they're doing. Yep. They put on a great con.
Excellent. So that's the Grand Rapids Comic Con. I'm not even going to clap. I was going to clap and try to repronounce it. I'm just going to say it. It's the Grand Rapids Comic Con. I could say those four words.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's the 15th, 16th, 17th?
It's going to be the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
There we go. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Did I screw those dates up? Maybe.
Maybe.
It's just a Google search away, people. I don't even know why I have to tell you about this. This is not that complicated. Let's move on to our big picks.
Let's do it.
Every week, we pick a few things. There's a ton of stuff, and we think that you should consider the following to spend your hard-earned money on. Marcus, what did you wind up with?
Well, we're doing the all-new, all-different Marvel. We're in the season of all-new, all-different Marvel.
It's like officially we're in it.
It
feels new and different.
It absolutely does. And this week, they came out with Sam Wilson, Captain America, number one. This is done by Nick Spencer. He's doing the writing. And Daniel Acuna?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
You did. I think so.
Great. Awesome. So here's the thing. I was a little disappointed with the original rollout of Sam Wilson as Captain America.
Why?
I thought some of the story was pretty flat. We got this sweet new Captain America, and it just, like, they did this thing where he was all messed up because of Axis. That little run they did where everyone's brains got a little screwy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, like, part of the Avengers, but he was hunting other Avengers. It just wasn't very Captain America. It was a bad way to roll him out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited when this new Captain America was announced. And let me tell you what, I think it's firing on all cylinders. It's about Sam Wilson. He's become Captain America. He's trying to live up to the mantle of Steve Rogers. And those are some pretty big boots to fill.
But he's taken his own route.
But he's decided that he can't do that.
Yeah,
he can't be Steve Rogers because he's a different man. So he's doing his own thing now. And a lot of this is just like him trying to figure out being Captain America, him talking. Like, a lot of this book takes place on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just sitting between two dudes and they're having a conversation about him being Captain America. What I liked about this book was Nick Spencer does action really well. There's some really good action scenes in here. But I also was like, I laughed a lot. There's some good humor in this book, at least for me. So Captain America's sidekick right now, his name is Red Wing, and he's a hawk,
mm-hmm.
and he might be one of my favorite.
He's an animal hawk.
He is a legitimate hawk.
Mm-hmm.
He might be one of my favorite sidekicks. He's crowing on me. He's winning over my heart and mind.
Did you say he's crowing on you?
He's crowing on me. Yeah, absolutely.
Heyo.
The art in this book, Mr. Acuna's art is dynamite. It's so good.
Hey, so
yeah.
So we have Captain America. I had a hard time with Sam Wilson kind of like picking out his actual character from this book. I don't have much of a sense of like what kind of dude this is from this book.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a ton of words in this book.
Yeah, it's a wordy book. I like it.
So the premise is that Captain America has always stayed like above the fray. He's like, he is not getting involved. Did you read this, Curtis?
I did.
So he does not get involved in like worldly matters. He is like an icon, right?
Right.
Sam Wilson's like, there's some stuff going on in America today. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he makes a stand, but we don't get to, and he has like a press conference where he's like,
right.
Ostensibly he's like, these are my political views. And now half the country hates him.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see, they don't show his statement.
No.
In the book. You infer that it's pretty progressive.
Right.
But we don't like really know.
Well,
that would have been really special and really cool to like see what that speech was where Captain America's like, this is what's wrong with the country. This is where I'm going to stand on things from now on.
Yeah.
This is the kind of dude that I am.
Well, they show it a little bit. So once he gives his press conference, they kind of show the news headlines. Yeah. And it's essentially like, you should quit, you're a communist, you're anti-America. But then they also show him like out doing stuff, and he's like on a gay pride parade float. You know, so that's where we're kind of getting the idea that he has a little bit more of a progressive message.
Yeah, but it's just him standing stoically on a gay parade float. I get what they're doing.
It's just little snapshots, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they're
I think it would have been cool to like actually see his words from that, because I didn't get much of a sense of the dude from this book.
Sure. Sure.
And like you're saying, like, we don't, you know, his rollout was a little bit weird.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
It was a weird rollout. But I think they really, through the conversations that you see him have in this book, and it is a very wordy book.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit to get through this because he's talking a lot. But man, I feel like he never really got the chance to like be his different self,
mm-hmm.
because of the Axis way they rolled him out, which was terrible.
Initially when they rolled out the Sam Wilson as Cap, right? He was very militaristic.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little heavy-handed. Like, I liked it, but he was very, like, you know, sometimes people got to die. I'm doing the job.
His sidekick is a hawk.
You know? there you go.
Yeah.
Metaphor?
No, right. I mean, and he's a little bit more, he is a little bit more heavy-handed than Steve Rogers would be. Mm-hmm. But at the end of this book, I think we see that the main focus of Sam Wilson, Captain America, is going to be the conflict between Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson, mm-hmm. and their ideological differences, and that is so interesting.
And Sam too stays outside of the Shield.
He's no longer in Shield.
Or
he's
the
no
Avengers.
Longer, he's kind of just running solo.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing, and I really like that. I am very intrigued on where this story is going. I want to see the conversations that Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers have. And I thought this was a dynamite first issue. I'm totally in it.
I enjoyed it. Yep, quite a bit.
I want to enjoy it. I want to keep reading it.
Yeah.
I want to see that more about that character. I want to learn more about that Sam Wilson. And I feel like I've read a ton of shit with Sam Wilson in it, and I can't like describe what kind of dude he is to you.
Interesting.
I know that he's a hero and that he's kind of stoic. That's all I really know.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting to talk about. Maybe this is part of that larger conversation, you know, where a new Captain America, you know, we've heard a little bit of the rumblings of like, who's this new Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying, you can tell they're kind of trying to figure out who Sam Wilson is, you know, here creatively.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple of series, like, you know, who is this character?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we've heard it in the shop.
Yeah. You're talking about because he's black.
He's a black dude.
And
why?
And that ruffled some stupid feathers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Of the stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like it goes back to, you know, we talk about a lot of this stuff, even Comic-Con or just kind of the way the zeitgeist is going right now is.
Yeah.
There is a more progressive kind of attitude that's permeating, and you know, it's a line to walk because you know, folks get silly when they make Thor a lady for dumb reasons.
What do you think that has to do? You think that's affecting their characterization of him? You think they're trying to just kind of toe a middle line, where like a non-offensive line?
Not necessarily. I think they're really just trying to get a good handle on the character, and I don't know if they have it yet.
Yeah, I agree with it. Yeah,
I would say that the writers are probably thinking. I think that's an important job, and I think it warrants consideration, mm-hmm. you know?
I mean, they are pushing a little bit of a boundary here. Like, seeing Captain America on a gay pride float, that's not something we would see with Steve Rogers, I think.
Some people will get upset about that.
Great. I think they're pushing the boundaries a little bit. Yeah. I personally am kind of...
I think that's cool. I would have liked to see... just what I'm saying. I would have liked to have him explain why he thinks it's important to be on a parade float.
Sure.
With all of the words in that book, he never... like elucidated why any of this shit was important.
Sure. I think that's really fair. I will say that my kind of final note on this is most Captain America books, like these number ones, there's a lot of like Cap infiltrating a base and then he like stands up for freedom at the end. I thought this was a little bit more taking the pages out of Hawkeye. There was a lot of personal conversation going on in this book, mm-hmm. and I like that direction and I'm excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
So that's Captain America number one, Sam Wilson, by Nick Spencer and Daniel Acuna. Check it out. The art is, again, it's dynamite. It's so good.
What else do we know Nick Spencer from? Ant-Man.
So many things. Why am I blanking on Nick Spencer? He's done a million books.
Morning Glories.
Yeah.
Oh, he is the dude who does Morning Glories. Yeah. That's right.
He's done a bunch of Marvel stuff recently.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
Outstanding. Can I see the cover of that book, please, Marcus? All right. So it is Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Yeah.
Is the title number one. Brand new this week from Marvel.
I love that cover.
Curtis, did you have a book that you liked more than the other books this week?
I didn't. There's no big pick for me this week.
Okay, let's move right on then.
Moving on to next big pick.
I'm just kidding. I know you had a pick.
I do. It's called I Hate Fairyland from Scotty Young. It's number one from Image Comics. There's a variant cover for this book. It's called Fuck Fairyland.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the word fuck right on the cover, you guys.
And it's she's the protagonist is just double middle fingers.
Double bird.
Thumbs in.
So, good question.
I can't remember.
Oh.
Thumbs in always for me, personally.
Yeah. I'm a thumbs out.
I go thumbs out.
Your thumbs out?
Yeah, I'm thumbs out.
Oh, that's Spider-Man.
You're making a Spider-Man thing. This is really great visual gag audio podcast, guys. Great job.
So, Scotty Young. So, some people are like, man, I wish Scotty Young would stop being so cute and adorable all the time. Well,
guess what?
It's really cute and adorable still. The art is fabulous. There's a write-up in the back where he talks about how the first thing he read comic-wise was Mad Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and it is showing here. This
you
guy,
can see it.
This comic is mad as all get out. So the premise of this comic, go ahead, Nick.
Could you define, so for people that don't know who Scotty Young is, could you define his style a little bit? Could you put your finger on what it is? Because he has such a distinct style.
He does. So he's most well known for his young Marvel stuff, his mm-hmm. variant baby Marvel covers.
Yes.
But he also is very well known for, or lesser well known, but should be super well known for, his Oz books.
Yeah.
Oh,
with Eric Schanauer, also from Marvel. He's been doing these World of Oz books for years with Marvel, and they're killer.
So what are we talking about? It's very big round heads.
Yes.
Little bodies.
Yep.
Big expressive faces.
Giant eyeballs.
Big colors. Like everything
super
is
vibrant.
Super vibrant and colorful. Mm-hmm. So that's why it kind of lends itself to stuff about kids or
sure.
stuff about, because it looks very like kind of young cartoony.
Yeah, and think Looney Tunes. If somebody's
yes.
like yelling,
yeah.
their mouth gets like as big as the page.
Yes.
You know, their eyeballs pop out of their heads. So the premise here for this book is a young girl gets whisked away to fairyland, and it seems like a dream, although it's not. And she doesn't want to go there, and it's scary. She's getting like pulled through her carpet, and she's like freaking out, and her monologue, or her dialogue, I should say, is her being like, no, I don't want to go. But then the word bubbles are like, it's an amazing journey that you can take. And it's really funny that like the two just don't meet. 35 years later, she's still in fairyland. Her body hasn't grown at all. But her mind has.
She has aged.
In her mind.
And she's over it.
And she has come to loathe fairyland.
Yeah.
She just wants to get out of fairyland. So this is a book about her snapping. And she is going to get out no matter what, and she'll kill any cute little fairyland critter or fairy princess or unicorn or magic star that gets in her way.
This book, I'll be honest, when I opened it up, I did not think it was going to be for me. I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was so much fun.
It does. I grew up reading Mad. Mad was a big magazine for me
mm-hmm.
growing
yeah.
up as a kid. And I definitely got the Mad Magazine vibe
totally.
from this book. And I love the homage to Mad Magazine that Scotty Young is doing here. The lettering in the back, the letter section that he
yeah.
has, I thought was just as cool and enjoyable to read as the rest of the comic, too.
What is that? What about it screams Mad Magazine to you? Because I think right off the bat, if you don't have that connection,
yeah, so
I've never read Scotty Young or seen his art and thought immediately Mad Magazine.
Oh.
So for me, the crux of Mad Magazine is taking things from pop culture that are kind of everyday
mm-hmm.
and doing the spin on it and making it weird and making it not normal
and gross
and uncomfortable and gross.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like snot jokes in Mad Magazine.
Yeah. Vomit.
And vomit.
And everything's a caricature and it's too much.
Exactly. It's always, you know, it's not just a joke. It's like 1,000% of the joke
yeah.
to really send it into the land of absurdity. And in this book, you get that. Like, there's a really wonderful scene where the moon, the fairy tale moon, is the narrator of this book. And you kind of picture it talking with this wonderful narrative voice. And she just blows it up with a giant cannon because she's so sick of hearing this moon talk. And like, that's the Mad Magazine for me, is like, you're not picturing that she's hearing the narration. But of course she is, because this whole thing is so absurd
mm-hmm.
that she would. I loved it. It brought me back to being a kid again and reading Mad Magazine. But I can say that I do not think everyone will like this book.
I thought it was a freaking blast. And I had low expectations going in, so sometimes that helps.
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared to be like, maybe this is the book where me and Scotty Young don't be best friends for a little while.
You thought you had called it, that was good, that you thought that's where it was going.
I just didn't know, you know? Sometimes you think, when is Scotty Young? Why do you think that? Why do we want our heroes to fall? You know? Is that a larger conversation?
Why do you want your heroes to fall?
Yeah, it's just me.
Is the question.
Yeah, exactly. So this queen, right? She's like, she realizes that the doo-doo is hitting the fan, mm-hmm. and so she calls this bounty hunter. So I don't want to give too much away, but the nipples on this bounty hunter are like giant fingers.
That's comedy gold.
It's so funny to me, and he's got like a billion swords.
Yo, those nipples are funny.
It's super funny. And there's a bunch of pinups in the back. Brandon Graham does like a pinup, and it looks like it's Atreyu with his head cut off, but don't quote me on that. It's either that or a unicorn. that's the horse's name, right? Atreyu? From
Hortax?
Hortax?
I can't remember what his name was.
It's a never-ending story. It's a great yeah. movie. Anyways.
Atreyu was the dude.
Atreyu was the dude.
His horse was something else.
Oh God darn it!
His horse was named Never Ending.
Well, except when he ends. Remember that part?
I know, it was ironic.
Oh my goodness, it's the worst.
So that's I Hate Fairyland.
I hate Fairyland. Number one, Scotty Young, vibrant and gory as all get out.
I love the like early late 60s, early 70s game show font they used on the front cover.
Yeah,
I really like that.
The font's good. This book is just skirting a line of stupid, and I think it's on the right side of it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing about Mad Magazine, right? Or any kind of comedy like this. Like, it is very easy to cross the line. You do not have a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah.
Between good and you don't get it.
Right.
So, if you like gross and violent, check it out. Madcap, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. It was Madcap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slap-a-doozical.
What else?
Moving
was it?
On.
No, what else was it? Give me one more.
I don't have any.
You got one more. Reach down. Reach down deep.
It was haberdashical.
There we go. I knew you could do it.
Okay.
I Hate Fairyland from Image Comics, number one. I didn't care for the rap in the middle of it. I don't care for ironic rapping.
Oh,
that's a pet peeve of mine.
This is my surprise face.
Yeah.
It's my surprise face.
Are you making a surprise face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick is like old school, man, okay? He doesn't got...
What? I'm just saying. I did not think that was funny. I don't think that like that ironic bad fake rapping is funny. It's one of the...
It's tough.
It really grinds my cheese gears.
Nice. It really grates your carrots.
Exactly. I Hate Fairyland number one from Image Comics. I had a pick this week, too.
You did?
Thank you for asking.
You read a comic this week, Nick?
I read one comic this week.
Finally.
I just... Yep, exactly. Twilight Children is the name of it. Gilbert Hernandez. Are you ready for this super team, you dudes?
Oh, I'm ready.
So.
Gilbert Hernandez.
Wow.
Darwin Cook.
Get out of town.
Dave Stewart on colors.
Come the on.
This is a new book from Vertigo. It's the best thing I've read from Vertigo in a minute.
Agreed.
Substantially good.
Very, very good. So Twilight Children is the story of this little coastal town.
Yes.
And strange things happen in this town from time to time. There are big glowing orbs that just show up. Nobody really knows what they do or what the consequences are of these things, but they're huge. They're like the size of a VW Beetle.
Yeah.
And they show up in different places around town, and then they disappear.
Everybody's just kind of used to it, too.
Yep. It's kind of like a spectacle, like, hey, cool, yeah. One of those things showed up. But then they call the experts, and then it's usually just like disappears, and everybody kind of knows about it.
Yeah.
So it's a very much, the whole book is really based in reality, except for this one aspect of it. Darwin Cook's art, if you're not familiar with him, he's like, it's kind of Disney-ish.
Yeah, early Disney, for
yeah,
sure.
The characters are very kind of classic-looking. Everybody's very.
I've never heard that connection before. The Darwin Cook Disney connection.
I was just struggling with it, trying to think. How do you describe what Darwin Cook does?
It is incredibly early Disney.
Yeah,
that's a great way to describe.
But he also has like this other thing, and it's. I'm bringing up another artist, so this doesn't really help. But it's like Bruce Timm is the other guy that I think of.
I think Bruce Timm's doing the same thing.
Yeah,
I think they're both working off that vein of like very early classic animation.
Yeah,
that's a great way to describe it.
Because he's also, and I say that not just because of like the way that he does people, which I think is fantastic. Everybody's super, you can pick them out of a crowd. Mm-hmm. You remember their faces, which is like super tough to do. You remember things about their character because of their faces. But you also, he's just a really good draftsman. He's just really good at like setting up the scene. There's this great, right when the book opens up, it's like, you know, we're up in the sky, there's doves, it's a fishing village, so we see just like a pile of fish being dumped out of something.
Yep.
It's people walking with a net. There's no words, but he's just so good at putting a frame together and putting a scene together. He spends two frames of just this dude like taking a sip out of a beer bottle and taking the beer bottle away from his
mouth. You just know the vibe of this place. These are all these like, you know, in a movie, right? They're establishing shots, right?
Exactly.
This is, you know where you are. You know how it feels. You almost know how it sounds and smells.
Yeah.
You know?
And he goes, he just takes his time. He will spend as much time as he needs to just like showing an action so that you get a sense of the dude or the character and a sense of the place. And he's so, it makes you, I read one of Darwin Cook's books, I realize how much better he is at it than almost anybody else making comics.
He's very good.
Just of like setting the scene. I also loved how many characters they introduced in this book and how I remember all of them. I remember their names. I remember things about them. Like, there's Bundo, the drunk, and he lives down by the beach, and something happened with his family a long time ago, and everybody kind of talks behind his back. There's these three kids, and they're troublemakers, and each kid has their own distinct personality. Mm-hmm. There's this woman, and she's, you know, maybe having an affair with this other character. I know all about that. Those three people, they pack so much stuff and characterization into this one issue.
Really effortlessly.
Really effortlessly.
And they elicited emotions from me very easily.
Yeah.
And I was immediately connected to these characters in different ways.
With very few words and with no exposition at all.
Yeah. So the cool thing about it for me is, like, the orb is a big part of this book, these orbs.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, I could have read this book without, like, just knowing about these people, what's going on in their day.
Just their lives are just really fascinating. And
yeah, and the way they do it, it's, like, super approachable, and you can understand what's going on. And the orb is a cool twist, and I want to know more about the orb. But, like, really, I kind of want to know more. Like, are these people who are having an affair, are they going to get caught?
Yeah.
I kind of want it. That's what I care about.
Well, in Bundo, right? So everybody in the town has an opinion about the drunk on the beach, right? Mm-hmm. And they all have a slightly different version of the story of the tragedy that kind of haunts him.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, you think about that in real life. You know, somebody had this hard thing happen to him, so they deal with that. But then all these people have opinions and their own versions of events and casting various aspersions. I thought that was incredibly...
It's fantastic.
Interesting.
And that's Gilbert Hernandez all over. Yeah. That dude...
That's true.
That
you
dude
know?
Knows how to really just, like, get behind each one of his characters and how they see each other. I just loved it.
I would scoop this book up quick.
Yeah.
I think it's going to catch some momentum. And this book for me really was running on all cylinders. So I would nab it as quick as you can.
I would. It's you don't often see a Darwin Cook book either. And I think it's worth it just for the art.
That's incredible, right? We can never have enough Darwin Cook in the team up. Gilbert Hernandez and Darwin Cook. I think that's a historic combo.
And Dave
Stewart,
the colors in this book are perfect.
Yep. And you need that for Darwin Cook's art. You need a killer colorist to bring it home.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's this moment where, like, some kind of storm hits and a baby is just floating through the sky. And this dude, like, just jumps out to try and save it. And it's just this frame of, like, a bunch of debris and a baby.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, somebody get that baby. That was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, really good.
Hit me hard. So that's The Twilight Children from DC and Vertigo.
Yeah, and let's say really quick, you know, Vertigo, we talked about it, I think, a few podcasts ago. Vertigo's coming back. They're making an effort.
Have you read anything else from Vertigo that you really liked recently?
Soul Survivors was not bad. Interesting setup.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a bunch of, it's kind of a goofy setup, but a bunch of survivors of, like, weird 1980s horror movie style events.
Yeah.
You know, a poltergeist, a murderer, you know. Meet up to figure out this thing that's still plaguing them. They're all having bad dreams. But I thought it was a cool first issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that Mike Allred book coming out, Art Ops.
Oh, yes.
You know, so there's, like, a few books that I'm from Vertigo. They're going to do a book a week for 12 weeks. They got 12 new series.
Outstanding.
So there's a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, this is a good start.
I'm ready. Those were our picks of the week. Sam Wilson, Captain America, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I Hate Fairyland. From Image, and The Twilight Children.
All number ones. We did it this week, you guys.
Oh, we finally fulfilled the mission of the... Our journey is complete, you guys. All right. The horse's name was Artax.
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 Thank you, producer Rachel Polk.
So, spoiler alert, you guys remember that movie, right?
Are you about to spoil the never-ending story?
I am. The movie's 45 years old.
Yeah, it doesn't count at this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When Artax drowns...
What?! He drowns?
Yeah, in, like, the fucking swamp of misery.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I can't even think of anything sadder than that.
Never seen it.
You've never seen The Neverending Story?
Never seen it.
Oh, shit. You just spoiled. You actually spoiled The Neverending Story for Marcus.
Never seen it.
Wow. Well, it doesn't matter because it will...
It's a huge relief when Artax actually does wake up then and they just kind of gallop off.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's cool. Really, so it's really nice.
It all works
out. It's just a payoff for that moment.
I feel like you're lying to me. Hey,
no, that's the never ending story. They should change the name to The Never ending happiest story that's ever happened.
Yeah, and everything just
that
works
never ends
out.
Yep. And it's all fine.
Exactly.
Hey, dudes, a ton of other books came out this week.
What do you want to talk about, comics or something?
Yeah, I wanna oh man, so much good stuff.
Yeah, so the poll box, this is a segment where we talk about the other stuff.
I'm gonna try to be quick because I got a lot of books I want to talk about.
I don't want to call it the other stuff. But a lot more things were released than just these three comics. Yeah. So somebody hit me with something.
Do we just want to each do our own stack real quick? Instead of going round robin, we want to mix it up a little bit.
Let's do it.
All right. So I want to talk about Batman and Robin Eternal. Mm-hmm. It's got my man Dick Grayson, and it's killing. I really enjoy all of the Robins together trying to solve the same mystery. Pretty cool. Rebels number 7 came out this week. New story arc, and a lot of it's got to do with the Ladies of the Revolution. Really interesting.
Ooh.
Great stuff by Brian Wood, one of my favorite writers. Strange Fruit number 2, J.G. Jones and Mark Waid. I am liking this book, I think. The art by J.G. Jones is wonderful, kind of watercolor style. It's a sci-fi book that takes place during... I don't even know how to describe this book. I would pick it up and give it a read.
I am not a fan of this book.
I could tell when you were reading it.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I'm in love with this book.
I would love to do a one-shot episode where we just talk about this book.
Sure.
So Strange Fruit is a book from Mark Waid and J.G. Jones.
Yes.
About an incoming flood. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do we know where this town is?
It's in Alabama, isn't it?
Is it Alabama?
I think it's so. Alabama.
The town's about to flood.
The river's the Mississippi.
Exactly. Yeah. We're in Jim Crow era South.
Yep.
And in the first issue, a man, which is probably ostensibly an alien,
yep,
lands on Earth. And the town is kind of like reacting to it now.
Yes.
Is that a fair break?
Yeah.
Of what's going on?
There's a lot of...
It's very racially tense.
Very yes. racially it's tense. Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff going on. The whole book is pivots around racism.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's Strange Fruit. But I would like to talk about that book in depth sometimes because I think it's really, really interesting.
I want more people to read it because I just need more people to talk to about it.
I'm super about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars Shattered Empire. All the Star Wars books are great. Check it out. Captain they are. I mean, they are.
That's true.
Every single one of them is really
This is number 3 of 4, Shattered Empire. It's important to say this is the lead into Force Awakens.
And it's got my man Lando on the front. So you know it's going to be good. It's got Lando on the front.
Did you read this yet? Is Lando in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. There's some Lando.
Because Lando just ended, and I'm bummed
about it. You're
going
to get some Lando.
Okay, good.
And then also, Captain America White is shockingly coming out on a wonderful time schedule.
Do they finally kiss?
They don't kiss yet, but I think they're going to.
Captain America and Bucky.
I think they're going to kiss. Really good. There's some like, gypsy stuff going on in this book.
Yeah.
Like, French gypsies.
Mm. Romani gypsies?
So that's the thing, is, like...
I don't know much about gypsies.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension about, like, do you use the word gypsy? How does it work? Blah, blah, blah. But this book is very done in the style of the 40s.
They're saying gypsy.
Yeah, they're saying gypsy throughout the whole thing. I really like this book. I don't want to put money on it or make any form of bet, but I think Bucky Barnes and Captain America are going to kiss it in the last issue, but that's just my thoughts. Those are the ones I have this week.
I would love it if that happened because, I mean, this the tension, the
there's some sexual tension between Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes in this book. It's so thick.
What's in your poll box this week?
Well, in my poll box this week, I got Batman 45. Surprise. Batman's smoking a cigarette on the cover, yo.
Yeah, he is.
Jim Gordon's trying a lot of things right now. He's trying to be the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get in shape.
He's looking good.
He's looking good. He's looking trim. He's trying to quit smoking.
Yeah, but still smoking.
He's a cop in Gotham, you know, so he's on and off. A lot of times he'll just put a cigarette in his mouth and not light it.
Just to have it.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's doing the thing. It's a hand-to-mouth thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So some people can relate to that. It's tough. It's tough to quit smoking. Good on you, Jim Gordon. Do what you can, buddy. Empire of Blood. This is issue number 1 of a 4-issue series from Graphic India.
Mm-hmm.
This was a cool sci-fi horror alt history book about what if the British Raj endured and took over the greater portion of Europe.
Yeah.
And they ruled with this magic elixir that made them immortal.
Graphic India is killing it.
That's a cool premise for a book.
It's so dang cool. The art is really nice. I am not familiar with either creator on this book, but Empire of Blood, issue number 1. Check it out. Graphic India, they got 2 or 3 now that are really interesting. Mystery PI is really nice. And then Grant Morrison's 18 Days has been a lot of fun. So
yeah,
Graphic India, check them out. Spider-Gwen number 1. From Marvel Comics, all new, all different Marvel Comics. This is Jason Latour and Robbie Rodriguez, the original crew from Spider-Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love with this book. I like the art. It's weird. It's funky. The color palette is totally nuts. Thought it was great. Mm-hmm. They're establishing Spider-Gwen in the, well, whatever. They haven't really said what the Marvel Universe is now after the events of Secret Wars.
Yeah, so we don't really know.
We're on a planet. It seems like it's...
seems like everyone's there.
It seems like there's gravity.
There seems to be gravity.
Yeah.
In a day and night cycle.
Is the name of this book Radioactive Spider-Gwen?
I don't know.
I hope so.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
It's on the cover.
It is. It sure is. And lastly for me, for my pull box, we're going to do another Black Mask, number one, Clandestino. I read the first 8 pages. I really like it. Crime book. Nick, you read this?
I did. Art was really, really cool.
Yeah. I dug it.
Is Black Mask, in a year of amazing comics,
yeah,
like you just take a journey back in your mind, you guys, and think about the comics that have come out this year.
Yeah.
It's enough to make you like just want to fall to your knees and weep.
True.
Is Black Mask like one of the best studios to come out of this year out of nowhere?
So they had 2 of the best books this year.
Yeah.
We Can Never Go Home.
Yeah.
And Space Riders are easily 2 of the best things that have come out all year. And we say that all the time. I know. I'm sorry you have to listen to it because there's so much good stuff. But Space Riders, that's in contention for the best thing I've read all year. We'll see how the rest of the year plays out. But that book is going to stay with me. I want to buy original art from that book.
Yeah.
I want to call Alex Ritt, like cold call him on the phone and just like scream, I love you, and hang up. You know? Yeah. No, it's the best.
A friend of mine the other day said, just out of nowhere, just for nothing, just like, if I were a comic book, I'd be Space Riders.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of times I talk about how I like my coffee thanks to that book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to stay with me
too. How do you like your coffee?
I like my space. Black and infinite. Yeah.
Black Mask, dude. They're killing it.
I want to know what's going on. Like, what their deal is.
I think it's great. We were talking, I was talking to Gene Yang the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Gene Yang did a signing at the shop, and we were talking about, like, what's going on in comics? What's new in comics? And he mentioned, like, yeah, it's a lot of Image. Like, Image is doing a lot of really cool stuff. And I was thinking about it, and Image last year, it seemed like every week was just a new amazing Image book.
Yeah.
For a year. But I wouldn't. You can't say that this year.
Well, it's not far off, though. It's like, because we go back over the last few weeks, I mean.
Oh, I'm not saying Image is not great.
Sure.
They're doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
But so is Black Mask. So is Oni. So is.
Boom.
Boom has done some amazing
stuff
this year.
Boom is having a year this year.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it was one publisher last year that was really like the standout. Like it seemed like they could do no wrong for a solid calendar year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And now it's just, I cannot believe how many good publishers and how many good books are coming out from different places.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, and it seems like that's the other cool part of the image effect that's happening.
Now that's an effect.
You know?
Now that's what I call a fucking effect.
Now wait, I was holding back my comment about the Batman cover this week because it definitely falls within the Grayson effect.
No, it just uses the color pink, you son of a bitch. It's just color. We're gonna talk about this later, I have a feeling.
So I was gonna say the Image effect though, right? People are looking at what they're doing as a publisher.
Yep.
And they're going, oh, hey, content, rules.
Yep.
This is what we're talking about. It's creators and it's content. That's what sells things.
I think you're absolutely right. I think people saw what Image was doing. Mm-hmm. They saw how it was actually working. They're gaining market share. It's actually a thing.
Yep. And let's take chances on product.
Yes.
Let's take chances on the books.
Yes.
Not on what's hot or what's this or what's the trend or this or that. A creator brings us a cool book. We sat around. We're editors at a company. We read this comic. That comic is an awesome comic. Let's publish it. You know what I mean?
What a revelation.
Yeah, wow. Nick, you're a pull box.
I just
want to
talk really quickly about some stuff. Guardians of the Galaxy number one, Brian Michael Bendis. It was fun. It was cool.
The Thing.
I enjoyed it.
I like Bendis on Guardians, man. His run's been good.
The Thing was the highlight for me.
For sure. He's got a sweet new jumpsuit.
I love his jumpsuit, man.
It took me right from the cover.
That's right.
I like to call him The Thang, though.
I like to call him Sweet Thang.
You know?
Lumberjanes Beyond Bayleaf. This is a new spin-off from Lumberjanes by Faith Erin Hicks. And the last thing I want to talk about is Chewbacca. Oh. Star Wars Chewbacca.
Oh yeah. Pronounced Chewbacca.
I enjoyed this book thoroughly.
Yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yep.
I thought there were a couple of the thoughts I had while reading this book is that it must be fucking crazy to be around Chewbacca.
Yeah.
He's like, he basically scream growls everything.
Yeah.
and he's like 8 feet tall.
Yep.
And you think he's going to lose it and rip an arm off at any second. Sure. And that's the sense that you had in this book. Like, everybody that he interacted with was like, okay, buddy.
Hey, you know what I really liked about this book?
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Duggan's writing's good.
Yes.
Phil Noto's art is really, really tight.
Yeah. Real crispy.
Oh,
real,
so
real nice. They throw in that werewolf guy that's like in the cantina scene in Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like you can tell, like, they just are running out of masks, you know, when they're doing that cantina scene. Right. It's a great scene. I love it. Right.
Yeah, there's a ton,
like,
of stuff. Yeah.
There's a dude wearing like a full blown, like, Apollo 13 astronaut suit.
Yeah.
With the helmet on in the bar. You right. know, this is what we're talking about. But there's like
it's
this
space. It's like,
yeah, it's fine. But there's a dude that's got like this crazy blue, like, classic werewolf face.
Yeah.
You know, and he's in this book. I was like, holy shit. That's and cool. He looks so cool in this book.
Can I say what I liked about this book is we got a lot of like the Gur-Rar Chewbacca.
Yeah.
But also we get like a little bit of the soft tender Chewbacca too.
Yeah.
Like, Chewbacca maybe likes to have a day off every once in a while and just hang chill. Out.
He's that's on his right. own mission in this book. We don't really know what it is.
We don't.
He's got a little box and we don't know what's in it, but he's got to do something with it.
He's got to take it somewhere. He's got to fix his ship a little bit.
And he's getting pulled into mischief.
Yep.
Chewbacca might be the coolest thing to come out of the Star Wars universe. Like, cooler than R2, cooler than all of them. Chewbacca's just the fucking man.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, I hear a lot of talk about how much people love Chewbacca.
People talk a lot of shit.
Like, oh, Chewbacca, Chewbacca, Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him so much.
Cue the organ music in the background.
Yeah. Here's your chance.
Yeah.
So-called Chewbacca fans.
You're saying that there are Chewbacca posers in the world.
I'm just saying.
And you are calling them out.
Put your money where your mouth is, Chewbacca fans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to shit or get off the pot.
Because here it is. Here's a Chewbacca comic.
And
yeah.
it's
very
it's,
good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So
look at that cover.
If you're not a liar.
Yeah.
And a coward.
Get that Chewbacca book.
Then come in and get this Chewbacca
book. Yeah,
the
book. Cover is a giant Chewbacca face.
That's right.
What more do you want, Chewbacca, so-called Chewbacca diehard lovers?
Nothing. And I just found out, Rachel Polk's informing us that Lumberjanes Beyond Bayleaf was a one-shot.
One-shot.
Oh, that's yep. too bad.
I'm lovely. Also informed very stringently she increased the font size to tell us that we've got to move on.
Oh, well, we got to mention Cursed Pirate Girl special because it's Jeremy Bastion, and it's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. If
that's
you
right.
like a Mike Mignola or a Troy Nixie or any of these kind of classic, beautiful artists, Cursed Pirate Girl special... 2015
annual.
Yeah. Jeremy Bastion, Ann Arbor local. He's the best.
Ipsy local?
Maybe Ipsy.
And I don't know if he's still local.
He's right.
By know. Way of Ipsy, Ann Arbor area. Ipsitucky, Arbor
yeah.
zone.
He's probably like in New York now.
Yeah.
Because he's like a big shot.
Because he's, what a sellout. I don't know anything about this dude. He's probably not a sellout.
He's a really nice dude. He comes in the shop every now and then. He's a really, really nice dude. He's
okay.
not a sellout. He's not in New
he's
York.
He's not a sellout.
We don't really know where he is.
What a sellout. You guys want to move on to our citizen question.
Citizen question of the week.
But before we do that, I want to talk about this board game that Marcus and I played really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't have much time.
But so, it's so good.
And we're getting yelled at by our producer.
So it's Board Game Corner then?
You are now entering the Board Game Corner.
Hey, welcome to the Board Game Corner.
Nick, you and I last night played a great board game.
Yes.
Called The Grizzled.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I want to play it again right now. So, I have not been able to stop thinking about it.
Curtis, is this board game about steak?
It's about steak at the Motor City Casino.
Got it.
That's right.
So, Grizzled.
Curtis, picture if you will.
I will.
A bunch of grizzled soldiers.
Oh.
In World War I.
Ooh.
This is a game about surviving the trauma of war.
World War I is a very unsexy war.
It's not sexy.
No.
Filled with mustard gas.
Yeah.
And
this is
misery.
Not, this is not like a tactical game about like shooting dudes and winning battles. This is a game about not letting like the horrors and trauma of war overwhelm you to the point that you can't make it through to the end.
Oh my goodness.
So it's cooperative. Everybody's working together. And the point is that there's a bunch of different threats in war. There's, you know, cannon fire, mustard gas. You know, bad weather, all these kinds of things.
Yes.
If there's too much of one kind of threat, then you lose the mission.
Wow.
If you can successfully get out of the mission, all you need to do is survive the mission, then you're able to kind of continue the story of the war. So the whole idea is that you're just getting through a deck of cards and you need to reveal the peace dove sitting at the bottom
oh.
of the deck. You just need to like survive long enough and work together and get through all of the stuff. You earn these like trauma cards
yeah.
that just permanently scar you and make everything harder.
But
oh,
you can get
wow.
rid of them by giving your teammates support.
Yeah.
And support is a cup of coffee.
That's right.
Give them a cup of Joe.
That's all you got. You're in the midst of like super inclement weather. There's mustard gas.
Yeah.
There's like quafting over the moors.
Well, just think about it. Like you're just like this grizzled French infantryman in a trench, and some dude comes up to you and like, I brought you this.
Wow. Like you're in the middle of actual hell.
Yeah. And somebody took the trouble to get you a cup of coffee.
That's pretty great. I do love coffee. That's right.
It's a phenomenal game.
It's really good. It's really fast paced. It's really easy to pick up.
The instruction manual needs some love.
Yep.
It took us a little while to get going, but once we got it, man, it is such a, and the art on this game is grade A.
It's as good looking a game as I've seen this year. The art is so good.
Lovely.
And we're in a moment with cooperative games. Cooperative games are really, really having a moment here. But the play of this game, because it's set in like this hellish World War I scene, like it's so good.
Just loved it. It's $20.
$20.
The Grizzled.
It's not. I will say this, Super Skull listeners, you're gonna get a little game buyer info here. We might not have this game that much longer.
Yeah, but it's available.
It's available right now, and it is amazing.
Yeah. Scoop up the Grizzled. Let's move on to our citizen question.
Okie dokie.
And we don't have a ton of time. We'll see what we can get through here.
This week's citizen question is brought to you by...
Oh, I forgot to look
Funko
up...
Funko Cheese Bits.
The citizen question this week comes from Rob, who says and asks... Well, first he states that, spoiler alert, Batman is now James Gordon. We talked about that earlier. It was already spoiled.
That's true.
Batman is now James Gordon in a Donnie Darko Gundam suit. I love Snyder's run, but I love Batman more. Between Bruce, Dick, and Damian, I'm pretty sure that at least one of them has been dead for the better part of half a decade. Better part of half a decade, which is five years. So a few years.
Okay.
My question is, do you think killing off main characters is played out? And do you think old tropes like this can ever be done well enough to not be? If we can parse that a little bit, I think he's asking... What about killing off characters?
Yeah.
Is it used up? Do we need to continue to do this? Do we need to continue to see this in comics as a method of storytelling?
Sure.
I think the industry has realized that it doesn't work very well because what we're seeing right now is a lot of characters who aren't dying off. So like Steve Rogers, they could have killed him again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they just make him like old dude Steve Rogers, and he's around, but he's not Captain America anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really clever way to do it. Bruce Wayne right now, you know, he's around, but he's not Batman. So they're kind of doing this retirement thing, retirement of the mantle.
Yeah.
And I think that is way more effective because then you can still use these characters for like counsel or for conflict. And that's way more interesting. I mean, when's the last time we had a superhero really die?
Well, but
Wolverine.
Hardly ever. Right.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I like that a lot more. Let's not kill characters. Let's retire them and move their character into doing something different than what they used to do.
So the last one where they really did it was Wolverine.
And he's still dead.
He's still dead, but I would say that did not go over the way they wanted it to. Because like Logan died, and that book sold okay. And then they did the follow-up, like a little weekly series called Wolverines.
Yeah.
That book did not do well.
Yeah, that got canceled.
It got canceled. And like, honestly... And then Old Man Logan was around for Secret Wars, so we had Logan again.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't really work. So I think the industry is realizing that killing characters isn't that effective anymore. We've seen it done. So what they're moving to is this retirement thing, which works so much better.
So this is the thing. This has been used in comics forever. Like, this is not something that was invented recently or even with the death of Superman. Like, this has always been a thing in comics, is, you know, the killing off of the character for effect.
Well, it's the nature of the beast, right? I mean, Spider-Man always has to be around.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth of it.
Yeah.
You know, that said, I mean, it's really hard to make, you know, rules regarding these kind of things because Superior Spider-Man is like a perfect example of Peter Parker dying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do their comic book thing and people would be like, oh, comic book's so crazy. He comes back somehow, you know, and I won't go into the details of how he comes back. I thought Superior Spider-Man was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was my favorite book every month that it was coming out. And it's a very strange... When it was pitched to me, when I found out what was happening, I was up in arms.
Because it was Dr. Octopus takes over the body of Peter Parker.
Right.
Sounds wacky.
You're killing Peter. This is so stupid. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
I loved it. You know? initially the Jim Gordon Batman thing. Not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in concept.
Yeah.
When you hear about it, you're like, no way. I always want Bruce to be Batman. I am in love. I trust Scott Snyder on Batman.
Yeah.
So that's the tough thing, right?
So I think the question that he's asking is I'm sick of seeing like superhero funerals and the event surrounding like the death of a superhero. Like I'm over it.
Sure.
I thought the Death of Wolverine book that Charles Soule did was like pretty cool.
I loved it.
I thought it was fun.
I was super into it.
The follow-up to it was, but you know, that's all knowing that this is a trope that we've seen a million times, and I think he's playing off of it a little bit.
Yeah. Like we all know Wolverine's coming back.
Yeah.
But
so
I think that's the thing that you can just, you know, you got to compartmentalize this stuff, right? You can just, that Death of Wolverine is just a great story.
Exactly.
You know, so if you can take it for that.
Absolutely.
Cool. Wonderful. You know, and then move on. But, you know, the downside is it's hard to do that with a character like Wolverine because it's in continuity. And then we got to get a book like Wolverine's, which is like, I don't want to read that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have Wolverine in it, and I'm not interested.
I like the idea, and I think you just, Marcus, you just framed it in a way that I never thought of before, and I love it, is that you can change characters, you can retire them, you can move them into different roles, because we want to see these characters change. That's the kind of weird thing about comics that other mediums don't have, is that there are characters that are static for, you know, technically static and alive for 75 years.
Yeah.
Right? And things change around them, and like context change and times change, but the character still is alive, and we just don't talk about it. That's unique to comics.
Yep.
To a large degree. So I do want to see them change, and I think that is important to comic books, that we're willing to let them move into new roles. I am over the superhero funeral. But I think, like you said, Curtis, if you just take it as a story and you don't, like, really what I'm sick of is reading on Google News that they're killing off a superhero character as
Absolutely.
A headline. I think I'm just, it's just dumb.
Well, and you know, and there's so many reasons why that happens, right? I mean, that's how you get something. That's how you get the AP to pick up on anything about comics, right?
Yeah.
That's where why it's irritating.
Yeah.
You know, because that's why it's done almost exclusively.
And we hate pie charts in comics, period. This is something that we talk about a lot, like things that are pretty nakedly business decisions.
Yep.
And that's what Death of Superheroes, that's what it can feel like a lot of the time. Like,
absolutely.
Like as a cash grab, and like it perfectly times with the big summer event. And
yep.
But meanwhile, these are all stories, and like are these characters that we care about and the stories that we care about ideally are not affected by cash grabs and making headlines on Google News.
Agreed.
So that's why it kind of hurts when I'm like, oh man, they're killing off this dude for what?
So what was really cool, if you remember this year, the death of Donatello.
Yes.
No one knew that was coming.
No one knew.
And it was awesome how they did it.
Did you read that issue?
Yeah.
It was impactful.
It was huge. But what made that powerful is that they didn't go for the cash grab. It was just like Donatello died.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a much cooler way to, if you're going to kill a character, make it a surprise.
Yeah.
Way more powerful.
Have it built into what, you know, you've got a fan base. And that Turtles book has been on fire, you know?
Right.
So this, again, that's a creative thing that happened through the course of natural storytelling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that works. You know, on the face of it, right, when you hear about it outside, you know, I'm that ruffled some feathers, too. People were like, what the hell? How can you do this? You know?
Yeah.
But it totally worked in the book. In issue 50, let's just talk about Turtles for 1 second. Anybody read Turtles number
50? No, I didn't read it.
Okay, so, yeah, story-wise, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an example, right, where you don't want to say, hey, don't kill anybody ever,
because,
you know, trust your creators. But that's a great point, Marcus. I mean, they just did that, and if you're already reading the book, here you go. Like, nobody found out until Wednesday morning. We hated it because we were getting phone calls from around the country. Like,
right.
We got to buy this book because we can sell it on eBay for $50. Yeah. But the fans who are already in, you know, they just get a great story, and it's part of the natural course of things. So,
well, we got to move on. Hope that helps at all. So Rob also says, as an added bonus at the end of this question, don't answer this, Marcus. As an added bonus, how close are we to seeing all three recently deceased, Bruce, Dick, and Damian, suffering together from the Grayson effect? I am totally with Marcus in thinking it's a thing. I'm not sure if it helps his cause, though. So what I'd like to ask Rob is, if you could just shoot us an email and define the Grayson effect for me and what you think the Grayson effect is.
Oh, boy.
And then we're just going to see what happens. Is that fair to you, Marcus?
Totally fair.
I don't know if you know that I'm compiling a supercut of all of your definitions of the Grayson effect that you've given over the years, but I think you've given enough at this point that it could mean whatever you want it to mean.
There's a t-shirt in the works.
There's a t-shirt in the works.
You think I'm joking, and I'm 100% not.
Is it the Grayson effect? It's just fucking color.
Nope. Okay. It's I got a designer working on it, and I can't wait to debut it. I'm hoping
Can there be like a dictionary definition type thing on the back where it's like the Grayson effect?
No, there could never be that. We can never have that, Curtis.
You wait. Grayson effect t-shirt available at Vault Midnight soon. Don't worry.
We're not selling that shirt. You're going to have to GoFundMe for that shit, my friend.
But on that note, it was a pleasure, gentlemen.
I always love hanging with you guys any time of the day.
It's nice to have the three amigos.
It's good to have the three amigos. Yeah. It's good to not be podcasting at the end of the day.
The Justice
this
3.
This is the beginning of the day. Yeah. The Justice 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just us three.
Thus ends another issue of Super Skull, the Vault of Midnight podcast. You can hear us every Thursday wherever podcasts are found. Our music was created by A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by Philip Wong. Our producer is Rachel Polk. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Super Skull Show. If you please, check out our website, superskullshow.com. You can send us questions that we will answer for the Question of the Week segment. Please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. It really helps people find the show, and it helps us spread the word. If you dig it, if you have a minute, go leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. My name is Nick Weibar.
I'm Marcus Schwimmer.
And I'm Curtis Sullivan.
We wish you good reading. Until next week.
I think we should all go to the track.
And then we'll retire to Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm retiring, I'm not going to Florida.
Florida's like, but no, after you win big, like gambling, you have to retire to Florida.
I can't go to like Quebec and just eat fried food.
No, you can't go to Quebec.
Why?
After we hit it big at the track, you want to go to Quebec?
Yeah, the food there. So the food scene is.
No, you
want to
live like a god in Florida.
Yeah, so what I was doing there, I was being like a dick because I'm like linking gambling and Florida. Like,
yeah,
I just
want to
say gambling and Florida.
You do hate
Those
Florida.
Are your two least favorite things.
Was that
no, have you ever been swamp gambling?
Never.
It's an outdoor casino in the swamp.
Is that true?
No, I'm making it.
God fucking
damn
it.
Can I bow hunt an alligator while I play the slot machine?
That is the slot machine. You have to bow hunt the right alligator.